My name's Alyssa, and I'm going to be talking about reproductive justice in this podcast. And for this, I will be referring to some quotes from Reproductive Justice, Moving the Margins to the Center in Social Issues Research. And this is by Asia Eaton and Dion Stevens. And I have a guest with me here today who has not taken this class. So she's going to ask some questions, and she's also going to be putting some input into the topic for me.
Hi, I'm Taylor.
To start this off, we're going to look at a quote that talks about what reproductive justice is. And then we're going to expand on that. I think this quote is from the abstract. And it says, reproductive justice recognizes that women and girls' reproductive health is shaped by intersecting systematic oppressions, like racism, sexism, classism, heterosexism, which affect their ability to make meaningful choices about their reproductive lives. So basically this means that reproductive justice, it's later explained what this means. It says reproductive justice extends beyond the mainstream reproductive rights movements by positioning bodily autonomy and reproductive decision-making within social structural contexts. So basically, this means that different issues other than reproductive rights will intersect. So for example, sexism or classism or racism, those issues will intersect with the like reproductive rights, and it will affect, like make it harder for that person to receive reproductive rights in the long run. I think this is a really cool take because the traditional, like how people traditionally talk about reproductive rights are just basic, like pro-choice, pro-life, or, you know, this person can make this decision or they can't, but they don't really talk about the factors behind it and why they can or cannot make those decisions regardless of the laws. Obviously, if the law is against it, that's going to be the reason why they can't make it. But some people, even if it is legalized, they will still have factors that make it where they're unable to make that decision.
Yeah, I completely understand how intersectionality and reproductive justice would be related. I think that there's a huge like oppressed group, or maybe not oppressed group necessarily, but a community that would be affected by this that they didn't mention, like people of certain religions, I feel like don't get much education, especially like the younger generations where you kind of inherited your religion, aren't allowed sexual education, and definitely not allowed like contraceptives and abortions, or even really just any knowledge of anything that would be considered like provocative or inappropriate.
Yeah, especially like it doesn't really even fully matter if you are part of a religion either, because there are public schools who are not being allowed by law to teach proper sex education because people who are religious and have their kids in school don't want their kids to be taught that specific education.
Yeah, and it's already hard for people in like lower classes to get good education. I don't think I had any sort of sex education until like eighth grade. I learned like what a period was and everything in like fifth grade, but they didn't go into detail. They acted like it should be a secret, and it was like just not clean, like all of that. But Yeah.
And I also feel like, obviously, sex education is important for, you know, like, obvious purposes. Don't get pregnant. You know, that's a lot of money. You can't afford it. But also because, like, a lot of kids don't really understand the extent to which, like, STDs are, like, can be widespread and can, you know, like, be in their everyday life. Like, people next to them can have STDs, which can spread to other people next to them. And
it's not just, like, a sickness. It's, like, permanent.
Right. I mean, some of them are permanent. But, like, yeah, exactly.
If you don't know about it, you don't know that this, like, seemingly, like, maybe not innocent, but, like, you know, you're a kid, don't really, lack of education, like, you don't know that there's terrible consequences to, like, or possible consequences to having sex.
Right. And along with, like, that lack of education, you are, first of all, going to have, like, if you are in a lower class community and you don't have as good schooling, you're not going to have as much opportunity to make money. And therefore, you aren't going to be able to afford to pay for, like, the repercussions of your actions. So to get treatment for STDs or to pay for an abortion, birth control, or a baby that you might potentially have.
Also, education about just, like, not even the negative aspects of sex, just what it is and what everything is, like, actually. Because I know in middle school, I feel like a bunch of people kind of just, like, said stuff that kind of stuck in your head. You, like, had a different idea of what everything was.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that contributes a lot to sexual assault.
Yeah.
And we don't learn about consent in school.
Mm-hmm.
We, like, in our sex education class that we had, like, we are 19 and 20.
Right.
That's not that long ago. We did not learn what consent was.
Right.
Now, that, like, word was not said.
Mm-hmm. Which makes me think maybe they should talk about it in college more.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, a lot of people do start having sex when college hits.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the average is, like, what, like, 17 or something?
All of these, like, fresh out of high school people who don't know, like, much enough yeah. because of high school are just possibly ruining their lives.
Exactly. Fortunately, that is all we have time for today. Obviously, there are so many more forms of oppression that intersect with reproductive rights and reproductive justice. And those are very much important too. But I'm going to have to end it here. Thank you so much for listening.